All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Deuteronomy 27, 12 curses proclaimed and acknowledged. In this chapter, God, through Moses, commands the Israelites to kind of go through an outward ceremony, acknowledging or reaffirming their covenant relationship to him. And, you know, part of this, as you'll see, it were 12 curses proclaimed by the priests, by all the priests all at one time, and acknowledged by the entire nation of Israel. And it's a fascinating ceremony that we're gonna read about. But, you know, as we're going to see through this chapter, God has a simplistic way of teaching his children that we can all learn from, especially as parents, seed planters, teachers, you name it. And that is through simplicity and repetition. That's the way God teaches. Simplicity and repetition. Simplicity and repetition. So that God's word, his truth, his laws, his commands can be embedded deeply within our minds. And that's the way it is. You know, the lessons learned from this ceremony didn't only apply to the Israelites way back here, to the ancient Israelites. They apply to the Christian nations of the world today as well. And, you know, it's very sad, but most Americans are completely unaware of the fact that America is a covenant nation. Our forefathers made a covenant with Almighty God. That's how America was born. That's how it became great. And we're going to talk about that in this chapter and the following chapters as well. Chapter 28, 29, 30, 31, and 32. Because without knowledge of the covenant, without knowledge of the fact that America is one nation under God, or America is in a covenant with God, then it would be very difficult to understand what's going on today. And you wouldn't understand many things. And we're going to find out from Deuteronomy 28, people say, well, America's a secular nation, not a Christian nation. But you know what? All of the covenant curses and blessings written about in Deuteronomy 28, or a great deal of them, have or are coming to pass today, documenting that we are in a relationship with God, whether some like it or not. That's just the way it is. We'll talk about some of there are signs documenting that we are in that covenant with God. And again, we'll talk about that. But before we begin, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in your word, in this great chapter of Deuteronomy 27. And we just pray for that wisdom so that we can be better servants of yours. In Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 1, and it reads, "And Moses with the elders of Israel," okay, this was a representative government. The elders were the heads of the families and of the tribes. Really, this form of government back here was how America was originally founded, before we started leaning more towards mob rule and democracy. "And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day." Again, God through repetition. How many times have you heard this statement made throughout this book of Deuteronomy? And yet we still have Christians today that say, well, we don't need to keep God's commandments. We just once we become a Christian, we just automatically are superhuman lovers of all. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Get off your high horse, Christian, and start listening to the words of God rather than fluffing away into spiritual land. For God teaches us how to live. Sure, yeah, we don't follow the laws as it pertains to blood ordinances and sacrifices and certain rituals. Those were done away with by Christ's blood on the cross and other things that Christ fulfilled while he was here on earth. But it doesn't do away with the commandments. Most notably, the Ten Commandments, as well as the other laws that stem from those. Anyways, that's what Moses. Moses stood there in front of the entire nation of Israel with the elders backing him up as a show of unity, being united as one nation, one government under God, saying, hey, I command you this, not an option, not an option. If you want to live in a free nation, hey, you got to follow its laws. You can't just do whatever you want to do. Now, this doesn't say this. Now, that doesn't mean that people are forced to love God, because people all the way back here under the government of Moses, the people still had a choice to love God or to love Satan. There was always that choice. Sure, if they committed certain violations, such as we found out from Deuteronomy 13, where somebody was trying to seduce the nation into worshiping false gods. Like today, you could think of it as somebody trying to seduce people into socialism and communism. That wasn't permitted under God's law. That's treason. That's treason. Anyways, that's another topic. We've talked about that some already. But he says, and it shall be on the day, verse 2, when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Okay, they didn't just conquer it and get it on their own. God gave it to them. And when you read the history of America's founding, you'll find that there were many miraculous ways in which God gave this land to our forefathers. But it's not taught in our schools. It's purposely being erased from history, because somebody doesn't want you to know that this nation was founded upon a covenant with Almighty God, because they know that's where the power lies, within a people that submits themselves to God's will, His purposes, His plans. And when a people does that, they have mighty strength, mighty power, as we're going to find out from Deuteronomy 28. One of the most important chapters in God's Word that lets you understand exactly what's happening. Continuing on. That thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. Okay, this was like a white cement that was placed over them. You can look this word up in the Hebrew. It was a hard white cement. Even if you have a companion Bible, you'll even see that Dr. Bollinger brings out the meaning of that word. Now, these were plain stones, but they were great stones, huge, so that all could see. And we're going to read about it here. Verse 3, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law. Write them in stone, because they're everlasting, not temporal, not changeable. As Christ said, Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, I did not come to change one jot or tittle of the law, because they are etched in stone. That has not changed. Now, blood ordinances and sacrifices were, but not the laws of God. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. The promised land. And you know what? Back here historically, the promised land to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob was the land of Canaan. That was the blessed land at that time. But you know what? That land never has even compared to this great land, America, as well as some of the other lands in Europe. You got Great Britain, Germany, Ireland, and so forth. Those lands were prepared by God, recorded about, especially, most notably, this great land, America, that was separated by two great seas as the place appointed by Almighty God in Revelation chapter 12. It says that God had a place prepared for the woman, and she fled into the wilderness where she could keep the commandments of God and hold on to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful thing. So update this to today. Because our forefathers, as you can see throughout the throughout many things, there are many you could call them signs or tokens that document that America is a covenant nation. America has our forefathers entered into a covenant with Almighty God. In other words, they said, Lord, we will do as you command, and we look forward to the promises that you'll give us. Okay, it's like a contract or an agreement. Hey, God says, if you follow my laws, if you follow righteousness, you will be blessed. I will make you a great nation. But if you violate my laws, you shall be cursed. And that's what you're going to find out here in a little bit. But anyways, some of those tokens where you can see them in our national motto, In God We Trust. That's an affirmation of the covenant relationship. One nation under God in our Pledge of Allegiance. That's another token or sign of the covenant. Our holidays, such as Thanksgiving. A proclamation made to thank Almighty God for our manifest blessings. What else was there? Other such things. You see it all over the place. The Declaration of Independence. That was actually a document, legal document, where our forefathers pleaded to Almighty God. They pleaded their case of oppression and injustice that was committed against them by the present King of Britain. The stamps and marks of the covenant, the signs, are all over America. Its institutions, its churches, its people. It's time we reaffirm that covenant if we wish to remain free and blessed. We're going to read, that's what this lesson is going to be about. There are times when you're supposed to remember and reaffirm the covenant, the national covenant. Therefore, it shall be when you are gone over Jordan that you shall set up these stones. Okay, these great stones where all the law was written, which I command thee this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. Now, Mount Ebal was kind of a plain, barren mountain. And you're going to find out why. But God wanted these great stones with the law placed on Mount Ebal. And there thou shalt build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Now check this out. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shall eat there, and shall rejoice before the Lord thy God. Let's step back here. Why did God say, you shall not lift up an iron tool upon these stones? Why would he say that? Because he wants to keep them away from idolatry. And this is a lesson that even many of us pastors can learn today. Hey, we don't need to add to or make God's word more perfect than it already is. Because that would be idolatry. In other words, God wants pure religion. Pure religion founded upon the word of God. He doesn't want it defiled with men's hands, men's tools, men trying to improve upon it. He wants the pure, undefiled word of God taught to the people. He's not looking for big fancy buildings today, like, if you belong to a church that's really big and fancy, then you must be holy. That's not true at all. For back here, God said, hey, I just want you to get a heap of stones up here. Rough stones. I don't want you to make it all polished and pretty. I want it to be the place where you can simply come and commune and talk with me. Again, not to be distracted by statues and big stained glass windows and all kinds of other, so-called beautiful things made with men's hands. In other words, Christians ought to be keeping things simple. The thing we're supposed to be focusing on is God, His commandments, His laws, as well as the rest of His word, His promises. Everything that He says is what we're supposed to be focusing in on. What a beautiful lesson there is in that today. Especially if you want to get into this. God, this is a direct command not to institute the traditions of men that make void the word of God. Keep your iron tools, keep your hands off of God's word. Teach it the way it is. Don't dress it up, don't make it fancy, just lay it straight on to the people. Make it plain, make it visible, write it in stone. As we're going to see from verse 8, "And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly." Now check that out. Very plainly, so that all could see, not complicated. You don't need to get a doctorate in theology to understand or decipher it. No, write God's law in a way that everybody can see and understand. And that's the way teachers are supposed to teach God's word today. You know, a lot of people get a lot of different letters after their name, and they make God's word so complicated that the average layperson grows bored because they're using all this sophisticated terminology, you know, sounding really spiritual, really intelligent, really intellectual. God didn't say to do it that way. Write it in the, and there's another place in the Bible where I think it was Isaiah, he says, "Hey, write it in the pen of the common man." There we go, simplicity and repetition. Now notice, God wanted the people to see this, to see these great stones. So when they passed by, they would see it. And we're gonna find out a little bit more that goes into this here. "And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel," listen closely. "This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God." In other words, you are a covenant people. Again, just like America and other Christian nations of the world are part of that covenant. In fact, I think it's Genesis chapter 49, you'll find out that many of the prophecies given to the tribes of Israel were ultimately fulfilled throughout many nations in Europe and Germany and America. Not just one little land over there where many people consider the modern day, or that's called the modern day nation of Israel, or the Israeli nation. That's only a small percentage, if that, of the tribe of Judah. Anyways, one nation under God. In other words, he says, in other words, you could translate this: "This day thou art become one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. For that's what this law proclaimed. Therefore," verse 10, "thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God." Not just say, "I love you, God. I just got to pray and feel your spirit and get all super emotional." No. Obedience shows and displays your love. Not perfect obedience, but trying to do your best. We're not teaching that people can be morally pure and just become this perfect example. For Christ was our perfect example. But we are supposed to strive to be a moral and righteous people. We're not supposed to just put our hands up in the air and say, "Well, I just believe and I'm saved and I don't need to worry about all these details that God told me to do." Well, Christ said in one place, "Hey, if you love me, keep my commandments." The book of John, the Apostle John, in one place says, "Hey, who is a liar? But he who does not follow God's commandments." I'm kind of paraphrasing. You'll find it in the epistles of John. Okay, therefore thou shalt obey the voice of the Lord thy God to do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim. Now, Mount Gerizim was more of a, you could call it more of a lush mountain. In other words, it was opposite to Mount Ebal. And there was only about a mile in between the two. One looked barren and desolate, and one mountain looked blessed. That's key. That's key, because you'll see here. You'll see the way God teaches sometimes he uses visual aids to impress upon the minds of the people, as well as this, as well as going through a certain ceremony or action, so that the lesson gets embedded into the minds of the people. Here we go. These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over Jordan. So after you cross over Jordan, there's this mountain called Gerizim. I want you to do this. I want you to put Simeon and Levi, Judah and Issachar, Joseph and Benjamin on Mount Gerizim to proclaim blessings unto the people. Now, this is interesting for you deeper scholars of God's word, that all of these children of these tribes were actually, that were to stand upon Mount Gerizim. This would be half of the 12 tribes, six of the tribes. They were descendants of the wives, the actual wives of Jacob, rather than the handmaids, rather than the two handmaids. In other words, they were children of the free women rather than the bond women. And anyways, that if you want to take that a little further, you can take that on your own. But verse 13, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Okay? So half and half. Half of the nation stands on Mount Gerizim, half on Mount Ebal, proclaiming blessings and cursings, so you'd have a visual representation. Hey, if I'm blessed, I live over here. If I'm cursed, I live over here. It's that simple. It's that simple. And the Levite shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. Now check that out. A lot of people don't like it when preachers, they want to hear the soft, smooth talking preachers that promise them prosperity and goodness. And oh, dear brother Christian, we just talk about love all the time. Let me pat you on the back. Welcome to church today. You know, but that's not the way God uses common sense. He speaks directly to the people. Hey, you look at all the prophets in the Old Testament. They weren't the soft-spoken, what you would consider priestly-looking type people today. They were men and women of God who spoke the truth as it is written. Anyways, here we go. The Levites would speak with a loud voice, all together in unison as one. Could you imagine that? Some people say that there were approximately 22,000 Levites at this time. Could you imagine 22,000 people, 22,000 men shouting the blessings and cursings to the people? And those of you who want to make a deeper study on it as well, you can do some Google searches on Mount Gerizim and Ebal, and you'll find that this place was a natural amphitheater. In other words, voices traveled far distances. Cursed be the man. This is what they're shouting out. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Or we make an affirmation to that. We agree to the covenant. We agree to the covenant stipulations. Because part of that covenant, the covenant carried with it blessings or cursings. That's your basic foundation of what a covenant is. Just like when you enter into an agreement, say you take out a loan for your house. You sign a legal document. An agreement, you sign, okay, I agree to pay all my debts by this time and that date. And you say, yes, I affirm. You check that. You check this. That's what this is. But obviously on a much deeper level, a deeper, this is a relationship level, not just an agreement, but a sacred agreement. That's what it is. Sort of like a marriage between a man and a woman. Anyways, that's what the, so they were shouting this out. And keep in mind, the Levites were down in the valley between the two mountains. And the entire nation was on each side. I mean, there was, I can't remember the number. There was, I don't know if some people say 1.5 or 3 million Israelites at this time. Shouting out, amen. After 22,000 Levites shouted out, cursed be he that maketh an abomination, you know, an idol. Could you imagine the impression that would leave upon those who participated in that ceremony? There's probably never been anything the like since this time, where this many people gathered together in one place to affirm their relationship with Almighty God. Beautiful and amazing. They became one nation under God. That's what they were proclaiming throughout this list here. We're going to talk about it. And you're going to see here is 12 specific curses proclaimed out loud and affirmed by the people in this chapter. In this chapter. One for each tribe. So they move on. He says, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Again, imagine hearing all that amen all at once, all in unison. You know, setteth light by his father, mother. Just think of the generation we live in today. I'm not going to go through too many of the details of these laws here because we've already covered them in different parts of this chapter. But, you know, respect of elders. Respect of parents is important in God's word. Notice that was the second cursing that was pronounced. The first one was no idolatry, or cursed be he that makes an idol. And the second one was be cursed be he that doesn't honor his father or mother. That shows how, you notice it didn't say cursed be he that doesn't honor his mother and mother, or father and father. Think about that. Think about that, about some of those Christians now that are accepting homosexual marriage as normal and valid under God, when God proclaims it an abomination. Why do I bring that up so often? Because they're shoving it in our face every single day. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, amen. Again, think about the priests yelling this out. 22,000 men yelling, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Somebody that steals. And you know what? This law of the landmark can be applied in many different ways. Even if you were to try to change or fundamentally change the standards of a nation, that a nation under God, that's removing your neighbor's landmark. That's bringing change. So what God says is, hey, cursed be all those who want to remove the landmark, who want to bring change. I'm talking, when I say change, I mean change away from being a Christian nation to a godless secular nation. Cursed be those who do that. And cursed be those who vote for that. You know, Wouldn't it be just beautiful today? And people would say, oh, you're crazy, Pastor Ben, for saying that. But wouldn't it just be beautiful today if all the nation gathered together as one throughout television and video, internet, or whatever, and went through a public affirmation of these blessings and cursings? In other words, publicly acknowledging that we will follow the Lord, our God. That would be wonderful. It will happen again. one day. May not happen until Jesus Christ returns, but it will happen. Will happen when every knee bows and proclaims that our Lord is Lord, that our God is God. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, Amen. You could take this, again, you could take this on, just picture this. Picture a person leading, picture how cruel this would be. For a person to purposely lead a blind person into the ditch or into the middle of the woods. Surely nobody would do that today. Well, what do you think many of our politicians and religious leaders are doing? The blind are leading the blind into the ditch. I shouldn't even say it. I mean, they are blind spiritually, but some of them, they know. They may be blind spiritually, but they know what's going on. And they're purposely misleading and deceiving the American people. Cursed be those who do that. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. We agree to that. You know, perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. God always desires that we protect those who have a hard time protecting themselves. That's his way. That's his law. The vulnerable. Protect the vulnerable. That's the Christian way. We talk about perverting judgment. Look at who we have today as the highest offices, in the highest offices of the land, in the Department of Justice for one, the head guy that's supposed to ensure that justice is carried forth in America. He's nothing but a liar and a crook. And he took the oath to uphold justice. Think about that. Think about the times we are in today. What an abomination. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife because he uncovereth his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, Amen. All right, hey, if you didn't think this was very important, hey, this is what the heathen nations did. They committed incest. That's why God was separating his people. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, or an animal, and all the people shall say, Amen. I've talked about this a little bit here lately, but I truly believe that after the homosexual movement achieve, or if we allow the homosexual movement to achieve its goals, the next push will be for bestiality. Make it totally normal and legal. Where men and women can just, you know, they can just romp on some animal. Disgusting, isn't it? Very disgusting. But you know, this wasn't this was done among so-called advanced pagan societies. This wasn't just some primitive thing that primitive peoples did. No, the more advanced a pagan civilization became, the more prevalent bestiality became. In fact, this was even central to a lot of their ceremonial worship. While God commands a ceremony of acknowledging the curses and blessings, a pagan or a heathen people would romp animals. Disgusting. Cursed be he, verse 22, cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. And, you know, in other words, cursed be he that backbites, that slanders, that gossips his neighbor in secret. Hey, did you hear what so and so did? Da, 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 da. That's smiting your neighbor in secret because you're doing it without them hearing. Yeah, hey. Oh, did you hear about Sally or Joe? Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. In other words, cursed be the IRS for going after innocent people who want to stand up for freedom to give them trouble. Cursed be those people. Would to God our people would stand up and abolish the IRS and come up with a flat tax, 10%, on income alone. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people, now notice the final curse included the entire law. In fact, I said 12 specific curses, but there are really 11. And the 12 being a general inclusion of the entirety of God's law. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. Again, could you imagine that? Standing there watching this happening. 22,000 Levites, approximately, shouting out the cursings. While, you know, millions, maybe there was 3 million in totality, 1.5 million on each mountain. Now, I'm just estimating based off of different sources I've read. Shouting back, Amen. Has there ever been anything the like since that time? That all the people declared that they were one nation under God and declared these covenant stipulations? In other words, hey, God, we agree to your covenant. We know that, hey, if we violate these stipulations, we will receive cursings, and we don't want to do that. All right. Well, next chapter is, again, I've said it before, and I've said it many times, is one of the most important chapters in all of God's Word that even tells us many prophecies, or it helps us understand many prophecies, even, yes, in the book of Revelation. And we're going to get into that. We might even have to spend two different studies on that chapter because it's pretty long. We more than likely will. Possibly even three, maybe. But we'll try to break it down into two if we can. But, hey, I hope you're enjoying these chapters. Again, we got 28. We got chapter 29, 30, 31, and 32. I mean, these chapters even talk about terrorism, troubles within and without, world wars, you name it. It's in these final chapters of this book of Deuteronomy. And did you know that this book of Deuteronomy was quoted, was the single most quoted source than any other source by the founding fathers of America? Yes, indeed it was. The book of Deuteronomy. Anyways, hey, do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 5 and absorb God's word on a daily basis. Well, he said there, hey, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you consume it. Digest it. Meditate upon it so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.